Sure is good to be home. We missed you all while we were in Johnson City, Tennessee, back and forth through Knoxville, and then in Chattanooga, Tennessee this last Sunday. Next Lord's Day, Lord willing, will be at a place called Friendship, Tennessee. Doesn't that sound nice? It's in Dickson County. I'm really looking forward to hearing the lessons that Mike is going to be presenting next week in regard to the obedience of Jesus and in response, our obedience to Jesus. And I've been thinking about the subject of today's study. We're going to be thinking about an old man, a really old man, a 120-year-old who's basically preaching funeral sermons, his own included. Mary's delighted that you've come to be with us. Even really glad that you're here. And Ron and Stephen, glad you're here. Others who may be visiting, we haven't had opportunity to meet, or we have. You're back. I'm the one who's been missing, so we're really glad that you've come and that you're willing to study with us. Invite you to open your Bible to Deuteronomy. And as we think about that, I would encourage your attention as we think about the fact of going home, of going to a homeland that you've never been before. And as we think about how, what is the key to getting to that land? As Stephen and Ron were trying to get from Augusta, Georgia to Lafayette, Indiana yesterday, they called me, 9:30, 10 o'clock, saying, I think it's going to be midnight or after before we get here. And they have this thing called a Garmin. You may know what that is. And then I call them about 12:30 when I wake up and realize they're not here. And then they say, well, it looks like it's going to be around 2:50. That's what our Garmin is telling us. I don't know if they'd ever seen the promised land of Lafayette before or not. I think maybe years ago Ron was here. But I want you to think about going to a place you've never gone. And what your anticipation is, and coming to the promised land. So while you're in Deuteronomy, could you check the screen and notice a couple of things in regard to the promise that was made as Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. I'd suggest he did not have a Garmin. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Going on in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Stephen, have you ever seen Purdue University? Never seen it, but for some reason he believes it's there. Dexter, maybe you can help him with that it's really there, all right? And so he has some evidence that it exists. He's been talking with some people, right? But he's seen it afar off, as these did. And they're assured of them. And they're embracing these promises. And they're confessing that they're strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Eric, thank you for the songs you led. I was trying to think, a beautiful life. But then as the lyrics kept coming, it's like, that's exactly what Deuteronomy is saying. Thank you for that insight. But I was thinking, to Canaan's land, that kind of, on the way to Canaan, going to the promised land, don't you want to go to that land? You know the one, that song we were taught a few years ago? The idea of singing about the land, singing about the homeland, going to this place that we've never seen, but our great-grandpa has seen it, and he has received a promise from God. So we want to go to that land. So what's the key to enjoying this land that God has provided, a land that's flowing with milk and honey, as God would describe it? You know, I'm thinking about some of the sadness that's going on as we're thinking about what is being talked about. Moses has been pleading with God, please, please, let me go in. Moses is said to have been the meekest man in all the earth. Moses is an extremely good man, but he failed to sanctify God as holy before the people. And he did his own will and struck the rock. And ever since, the consequence of that disobedience said, you can't enter the land. But Moses is the one who for 40 years has dealt with these belly-aching, grief-giving people whom he's trying to help get to the land that God has promised, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And now Moses is a few days short of his death, and he at 120 years old is just as strong, and I'm amazed that he could see just as well. And he's wanting to help young people to go where he's not going to be allowed to go. And if you ever need to listen to somebody, you need to listen to people who are about to die, especially if they've been good and righteous people. You really want to hone in on, here's an old man, here's an old woman, and they know they're short on time here, and they're looking to the future. And they may not know everything about that future, but they want their children and their grandchildren to enjoy the promised land. And so that's this old man Moses. And then you've got this book, and the Septuagint calls it Deuteronomy. You see duo there? See dua? That's second. And the other part is the Latin nomos, second law. Now you might think, oh, well, this is just reading the law over again. And it is. Only it's reading it through the eyes of an old man who now has incorporated these principles into his heart and into his life. And he's wanting to tell young people, don't do like your daddy did. See that first point? What he tells them in the first four chapters is basically, here's why your daddy died. And you might remember of those, what was it, 603,550? All but two of those men counted at age of war. All of them are dead. Some of them died in large incidences, and some of them just plopped over dead. It's been 38 years of funeral after funeral after funeral. Every 20 minutes, if you do the math, approximately every 20 minutes, somebody's dying. It's been a wilderness of death. And all of these kids, all their dads are dead, except Joshua and Caleb. And so what Moses is wanting to do is say, don't do like your daddy did. You need to have God's trust and obedience in your heart so that you don't die. Those of you who are doing Hebrews this semester, do you remember Hebrews chapter 3? Do you remember the two reasons why your fathers didn't enter to the rest that God promised? Lack of belief and disobedience. That's the Holy Spirit's explanation of why these people don't get in. So don't do like your daddy. And for some of you, we may need to say, don't do like your daddy. Don't do like your mom. But what Moses is going to say is, God wants to make a covenant with you. This is not about the covenant I made with your parents. This is the covenant with you. You standing here today, if you want to live, this is what you need to know. So we have an old man preaching a series of three sermons, basically. That's what you have as you go over the law. He's going to go over the history of how we got here. Then he's going to deal with, here's what the law says. Let's expose the law. And then he's going to say, you get to choose. Here's what happens if you obey. Here are the blessings. And here's what happens if you disobey. And by the way, when you get in the land, there are going to be two hills, Ebal and Gerizim. Ebal, we're going to read all the curses. Gerizim, we're going to read all the blessings. And you choose. Choose this day. Remember how Joshua would say that? And then you need to renew the covenant. You need to make this covenant with God. This is not your parents' covenant. And then finally, we have the pre-funeral of Moses and some last things Moses needs to do before he dies. So as we think about that, we've got him speaking to us, and he's telling us, I was thinking of Ted as I was rereading that in Deuteronomy 4. What would he say? Pay attention. That's what Moses is doing right here. Pay attention. Listen up. And so we have this message. Could you read with me in Deuteronomy 4? It's not going to come up on the screen. I'm going to read several sections from Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. When I was reading through this last month, if you're doing the 5-day reading program and you're reading something, we just finished Deuteronomy. And we've just moved into Joshua. And I was reading Deuteronomy 4, 5, and 6. And I thought, man, this is a great sermon. I shouldn't have been surprised. The Holy Spirit has all the best sermons. But I was thinking, the best thing to do is just read the sermon. So here's the best part. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws I'm about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. You saw with your own eyes what the Lord did at Baal Peor. The Lord your God destroyed from among you everyone who followed the Baal of Peor. But all of you who held fast to the Lord your God, you're still alive today. See, I have taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you're entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about all these decrees and say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them." Can I stop for just a minute? One of the things that I'm observing and I'm very impressed with in young families is that these young families are teaching their children to, hear this, it'll sound like a bad word, obey. That one of the fundamental things that parents need to teach their children is obey me. And you can think, as that little one gets to be where he can move and he can kind of motor out that front door, he can motor right on out into Greasy Lane and be a big greasy spot. What you want him to know is obey. When dad says stop, you stop. And that's for their survival in a very real way. So moms and dads, fundamentally your goal is to teach your children to obey. Because as they learn to obey you, then they're learning to obey God. But of course, you want to live a kind of life where it's easier to be obeyed. And so notice then, you got to remember. We've got to remember verse 10 of chapter 4 of Deuteronomy. "The day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when he said to me, 'Assemble the people before me to hear my words so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children.' You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while it blazed with fire to the very heavens with black clouds and deep darkness. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sounds of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. He declared to you his covenant, the Ten Commandments, which he commanded you to follow, and then wrote them on two stone tablets. And the Lord directed me at that time to teach you the decrees and laws you are to follow in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess." We move on to verse 22 with you. Moses says, "I will die in this land. I will not cross the Jordan. But you're about to cross over and take possession of that good land. Be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that he made with you. Do not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything the Lord your God has forbidden. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." Verse 28. "There you will," in contrast, look at what happens when they leave God. "You will worship man-made gods of wood and stone, which cannot see or hear or eat or smell. But if from there, when you've been taken away from, if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him. If you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul, when you're in distress and all these things have happened to you, then in later days you will return to the Lord your God and obey him. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with your forefathers, which he confirmed to them by oath." Verse 39. "Acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven and above, and on the earth below there is no other. Keep his decrees and commands which I'm giving you today, so that it may go well with you and your children after you, that you may live long in the land the Lord your God gives you for all time." Great, great message from God through his servant
Moses. So let's just watch some things. We're going to quickly move through some principles that we're seeing here in this message. You keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, that you may prolong your days in the land. Key is obedience to the commands of God. And then he tells us to obey carefully. Let's just review some of these statements. In chapter 5 and verse 32, and most of these will appear on the screen. I encourage you to look in your own Bible, but don't want to frustrate if we move quickly. Therefore, you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Look in 6:3. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Be careful. Cindy's dad used to say that to us all the time. I don't know that Cindy's dad would say, I love you. In his generation, that would have been difficult for him. But the way he said it was, and he had this deep voice, be careful. And Moses is saying, be careful. Pay attention. And notice then, this being careful is just littered through the text. And aren't we thankful we're not going to read all these? But if you just wanted to do a more extensive reference, and all of those were in the electronic view, you may have them in your outline that's printed. Do these things carefully. And he doesn't only say do them carefully, he says do them diligently. Give a whole heart of devotion in what you're doing. And also be earnest about it. Be sincere and dedicated and very industrious in your determination to carefully obey. Notice also, if you will, not only carefulness in obedience, but strictness in obedience. Don't add to, don't take away from. Don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left. Have you ever had your dad say, now look, here's what I want you to do, and I want you to do it exactly like I tell you. Don't go off over here, and don't be going off over here. Do exactly what I tell you to do. If you love your dad and you honor your dad, what do? You do exactly what he tells you to do. You don't go off to the left. You don't go off to the right. You just go right down the path that your dad told you to go because of love and respect. Notice also he's going to say don't turn aside. Don't go off to the right or to the left. Do just as I commanded you. Do you remember all those phrases in Exodus chapters 39 and 40? It says the same thing in Deuteronomy 24 and verse 8. Do just as I commanded you. God wants us to do it just the way he said. You know, those principles really shouldn't surprise us if we've read anything in the New Testament. Because when we read the New Testament, we have the same kind of warnings. Don't add to, don't take away from. Don't preach another gospel. Don't be telling of something other than what God has said. And so we see those kind of warnings in the New Testament. We'll see the message, don't teach a different doctrine. I think maybe Mike may have addressed that a little bit even last week. And so we don't teach the doctrines of men. Don't go beyond what I'm saying. The New Testament is no different than the Old Testament in those principles of God. God says, I want strict obedience. I want you to be careful. I want you to be diligent and earnest. Don't you think you can just go off and do what you want to do? Don't go right. Don't go left. You go right down the path that I've said. Those principles are true throughout time. That's always the way God expects people to deal with Him. So when it comes to matters of worship today, we want to do exactly what God said, just the way God said, because we want to honor God. We want to love God. We want to serve God. We respect God. And so we don't want to do everything just the way He says it. Do you ever try to work for somebody who liked their coffee just a certain way? And if you really liked your boss, how'd you do their coffee? Just the way they like it. Now, I got that from Mike. Maybe you'll use it again next week. I hope I didn't steal his analogy. But I don't know hardly anything about coffee. Ron can tell you that. But if you want to please somebody, you want to get exactly the right amount if they like sugar. You want to get exactly the right amount of cream. You want exact because you love them. You honor them. You respect them. And you want to please them. And so you want to do things the way they want it done. And so which of the commands should we obey? If we really love God, should we obey some of the commands, a few of the commands, or all of the commands? Look in Deuteronomy 5. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. Do you ever want your dad to say, which one of these commands do I need to follow? When he gives you a list. In chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded you to teach, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, and to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you and your sons and your grandson. Obey them all? Yeah. Look with me, if you will. This won't come up on the screen at this point. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29. Deuteronomy 5, please notice verse 29 through verse 33. 29 through 33. Oh, that they had such heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it may be well with them and with their sons forever. Go say to them, return to your tents. But as for you, stand here by me, he's speaking to Moses, that I may speak to you all the commandments and all the statutes and all the judgments which you shall teach them, that they may observe them in the land which I give them to possess. So you shall observe to do just as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to right or to the left. You shall walk in all the way which the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live, and it may be well with you, and he may prolong your days. So as we think about these kind of things, we see God wants us to obey all of his commands, not just a select few, not the ones that are just convenient, but to obey all of his statutes, all his ways, all his commandments, all his statutes, all his words, and all his judgments. God wants us to do exactly what he says, because he loves us and he wants us to be his. He wants us to be obedient children. So not only obeying all, but obeying all with a proper motivation. Obeying all from our heart. I remember as a child, and I'm not sure who might have said it, maybe it was just my own misconceptions, but I remember being told in the Old Testament is about law and the New Testament is about love. Wrong. That's not at all what the Old Testament says. The Old Testament's all over love. In fact, all obedience to God is predicated on the basis of trust, honor, fear, and love. And you really get a double dose of that in Deuteronomy. Look in Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. He keeps on saying it. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? Sounds like Micah 6, doesn't it? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes which I command you today for your good. One more time, in case they missed it at the end of the sermon. This day the Lord your God commands you to observe these statutes and judgments. Therefore you shall be careful to observe them with all your heart and with all your soul. God wants our heart. He wants our motivation. He wants our passion to be focused fully on him and his glory. Not only should we obey with all our heart, we should obey all our days. I thought, do we really need that one? I think it was Gary Henry some years ago who made the observation that Satan comes at us one more time when we're close to dying. You know, you may look at people who 60 or 70 years of their life they've served God. It's hard to think about people in their 80s. We have several here that might have to deal with temptation. But I must tell you, Satan is going to come with an onslaught at us at various times in our life, and sometimes he wants one last chance to break down our faith before we're about to die.
And so the message for this generation is, don't do like your daddies. Your daddy started out strong and they died in the wilderness. Don't die when you get in the land. You need to finish strong. And so all your days. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded you to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you're crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Look in chapter 11. Therefore you shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments always. Do we sometimes as older Christians think, well, I can let a few things slide now. I've been really good for a long time. God's just not really concerned if I'm real diligent about serving him now. After all, I've shown him a lot of faith, haven't I? All your days, always. 12:1. These are the statutes and judgments which you shall be careful to observe in the land which the Lord your God, the Lord God of your fathers, is giving you to possess all the days that you live on the earth. So what do we got here? Let's just bring this to a summary. The key to the promised land, for their reception of the promised land, is obedience. Obedience carefully. Obedience to all commands. Obedience from all your heart. Obedience all your days. Obedience is key. Remember, as we read in Deuteronomy 4, wisdom and understanding. That's what people's going to see in you if you're obedient. It is critical that you obey to live, that it may be well with you, that you may prolong your days, that you may multiply greatly, and it will be your righteousness if you will obey, and it is for your good. Would you look in your Bible in Deuteronomy 6, the last two verses? Deuteronomy 6, 24 and 25. So the Lord God commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, and for our survival as it is today. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all the commandments before the Lord our God, just as he commanded us. Righteousness is the principle of doing what's right. And I want you to note, we can do that. We can do what's right. Now, I'm concerned for those of you who are visiting for the first time, that you might think, man, this guy in this church is all about just obeying God, and that's the power's in the guy, and the power's in the person, the power's our obedience. No, the power's in God. But I want to note with you that strict obedience does not nullify God's grace. They're not getting any land if God doesn't give it to them. And it is God's gracious gift to give them the land. And as you'll read in Joshua chapter 6, you will notice that God tells them, as they're to march around the city once each day for 6 days and seven times on the seventh day, God says twice, it is a gift. The promised land was not something they earned at all. It was absolutely by the grace of God, but God expected them to respond appreciatively in obedience to his gracious gift. It also, obedience does not negate love. In fact, love is critical and foundational for obedience. Didn't Jesus say, if you love me, can you finish that for me? You'll keep my commandments. John 14, verse 15. And by the way, if you're just wondering, when Jesus is having to deal with the devil, and the devil's coming at him really strong right after his baptism, do you know what Old Testament book Jesus quotes three times? And he'll say, it is written. It's Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. Don't forget how important those Old Testament texts are in fighting off the devil. Also, strict obedience does not mean merit. They didn't earn the land. If you read Deuteronomy chapter 7, he will go over and say, when you take these lands, when you take these houses, when you take these vineyards, you remember, I gave them to you. You didn't earn it. Somebody else planted that. Somebody else built that. This is something I gave you. I took it away from them because of their disobedience, and I'm giving it to you. It's a gift. You didn't earn it. Yet he expected strict obedience. And it also did not negate the essentiality of faith. They had to do something in trusting God. And they had to come into the land and fulfill God's will. And one more just that didn't come out in your outline. In Deuteronomy 30 and verse 11, if you'll turn to Deuteronomy 30 in verse 11, God's going to tell these people whose parents have died in the wilderness, these rules are not too difficult. For this commandment which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. It's not up in heaven that you'll say who to go up to heaven to get it. That's a quote that's going to be restated in Romans chapter 10 in regard to faith and confession in Jesus Christ. That's Romans 10 verses 6 through 8. It's not that they don't know what to do. It's not that it's some impossible thing to obey God and enjoy the land. It is not too difficult. And so don't whine. Oh, God's rules are just so hard. I just can't do this. If you just give me half of them or maybe a third of them. All of God's rules have purpose in our life to bring us to His glory and to bring us into relationship with Him that we might share in His glory. So what does God want for us? Why all these rules and regulations? Do you remember Deuteronomy 5? Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Oh, for a heart like that. You can have a heart like that. And God wishes that His people would have a heart for Him that be reflected in obedience. And so finally, as Elliot read to us, if you'll notice in chapter 30 of Deuteronomy, beginning in verse 15, see, I set before you today life and prosperity, or good, death and destruction, or your footnote may say evil. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, and to keep His commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you're entering to possess. God's doing this for you to live. This is a survival sermon. And He says in verses 19 and 20, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. God's not about, I just want you to know you're going to die in the wilderness. God wants you to live. God doesn't want anybody to perish. Choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to His voice, and hold fast to Him, for the Lord is your life. The Lord is your life. Hold on to the Lord. So, Andrew, I'm so glad you thought of Hebrews 5. Jesus is suffering, wrestling with His will and His Father's will. Verses 8 and 9 remind us, although He was a son, He learned obedience from what He suffered. And once made perfect, He became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. It's a fundamental message. God's been teaching us that for a long time. Obey me, live. Disobey, die. Choose life. Choose life. Don't choose death. Your parents aren't God. You already know that. Your parents are doing the best they know how to tell you what's right because they want you to live, and not just live, to thrive. But as parents, we make mistakes and we set bad examples and we do things we shouldn't do sometimes. God never does that. God's rules are absolute. Make a covenant with God. If you've not yet made a covenant with God, make a covenant with God, trust Him, obey Him, respect Him, and love Him all the days of your life, and He will take you to the promised land. Don't you want to go? Won't you come to Him as we stand and sing?